wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
We love it, Damo. Welcome to you for Coat Tire.
Bit going on.
G'day, Damo.
There is a bit going on.
Hello, Bill.
Before you go there,
jeez. You're a very, very neutral man.
Fife or Crips? Overhead.
Fife.
I'll stick with Jim.
No, I've got my own opinions.
You're allowed to have your own opinion,
unlike
Bill.
You, I don't need to read or hear someone else's before having my opinion.
Actually, I have got an opinion about coaching today.
Oh, hello. Well, we're looking forward to hearing that, Bill. But let's hear from Damo, given he's come in. Dane Rampey. Yeah. Where are we at with this? That is, I don't know Dane Rampey at all, but I've watched him with great admiration.
He's a bit
different. Always loved the way he's played, but you're right, a different sort of character.
Yeah.
But that should have been a re-kick in the goal square and Essendon win that game of football. And that would have then been the greatest brain fade I reckon I've seen in our game for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's a fair summary of what should have happened, Jim, and what would have entailed with commentary around it, because his decision to scale the goalpost, whether you knew the rules or not, there was just something wrong about it. And brain fade is one word. He's lived on the edge a little bit, Dane. And
so you think there was some mischief attached to it?
I think there's some mischief. Right. I think he's been a bit of a smart aleck.
Yeah, okay.
Because
what was he going to do? Touch the ball or try and get the post ball?
Oh, look, how would you know? And again, he will now be forced to speak publicly
please
about
explain.
This because he's got to please explain from the AFL on scaling the goalpost and also for something he said to an umpire. And we'll get to both those issues in a moment. But yeah, the smart aleck nature of it, Bill, I think was where he was at. And for the AFL, though, also too, which is all part of this story, to say that it was practical umpiring and that the kick wasn't affected by the swinging goalpost. Well, go back and have a look at what actually did happen. The goalpost was ever so slightly swinging before Myers had the shot at goal. So the retelling of it and the recreating of it, I think, is a bit interesting from the AFL's perspective too. Mm.
Just talking to Matty Lloyd yesterday, we asked why he didn't kick a torp, Myers.
Yep.
You know why? He's got one of his fingers is missing, or half his finger is missing.
So can't kick a torpedo.
So he can't hold it for a torpedo.
Oh, wow.
Which we didn't know. His hand's all mangled, and he couldn't kick a torpedo.
Yeah, so the AFL signed off on it. And you know my views on that, Jim and Bill. They would have signed off on it if they'd given the free kick to David Myers. So rubbery are the rules in which we apply to the game and the way they like to justify it after the event. But going back to the previous issue in the second quarter with Dane Rampey speaking to a field umpire, this is what he said.
I called it three times.
It's all like a little girl.
What did you do?
Was Jake.
Stepping off?
Yeah, you stepped right off your
line. Oh, God.
And I get it. It's in the heat of battle. He made a nice comment to an umpire last year about if he had another coffee with Clarko, which was, I think, a playful reference. But I think you've got to be better than saying what he said there to the umpire about a little girl. And the AFL thinks so too. They've asked him to at least explain it. Now, look, I'm not saying be suspended or even have a massive fine, but I think we need to sharpen up a little bit when it comes to commentary of that nature.
Speaking
between player and umpire. And just on the entirety of his night and the fact that he is a leader of the Swans, John Longmire, we had on the Saturday rub, and he was at a loss as to what his main player was doing. John, do you know what Dane Rampey was trying to do last night?
No, not really, Dane. not really.
What have you said to him?
Other than what was that about? And maybe I broke rule number one that I normally live by, Damo, which is never assume that everyone knows everything.
And you know the way the rules work, and I think people who are a bit older know of past incidents like this. So have you dodged the bullet with this?
Oh, I'm not going to get involved in that too much, Damo. I mean, the game's done. Done.
There is no doubt they dodged a bullet. There's no doubt. Because you say they would have been able to explain it had they gone the other way. For me, it was a much easier explanation.
To explain that way.
Absolutely. You just turn around and say, we gave the kick from the square because the player climbed the post, which is 100% illegal.
Yeah.
And then it's just done. It doesn't matter how fanatical a Swans fan you are. Once you explain the rule, you just got to go, well, what the hell was he doing?
And don't do it. No, and if you don't do it, we're not talking about it. No. And for people to argue that him climbing the post is not him shaking the post, but the post was shaking. Yeah. It's not as if they're trying to sort of differentiate between the climb and the motion of shaking the post. The effect was the same.
What happens if Essendon missed the finals by percentage or game?
Well, it's their own fault. I mean, they shouldn't have been in that situation anyway. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think you can factor that into the outcome of a season.
I absolutely love this game. You know that, Purple. But I also come out of a game I played and now a game I love playing in cricket and golf where there is zero grey area.
Yeah.
If the rule is the rule, it's the rule. and the penalty fits the rule.
There's more grey in AFL than any other sport.
We allow this common sense to suddenly creep in. Yeah. And if the ball's caught above the grass, you're out and you walk off.
Yeah.
Like there's zero sort of room for interpretation in these other games, but we allow it.
We do. And it was similar to what we said a couple of weeks ago when Sean Ryan, the senior umpire, justified the five controversial decisions in the Anzac Day game. And I had the view then, I think it's pertinent to this conversation with the grey. All those decisions could have gone the other way, and he could have justified them equally forcefully.
Rabsy, do we need to get to a break?
Yes.
All right, we're going to talk about Gary Ablett next, as he's got a case to answer.
Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Gary Ablett, superstar, by the way, and just showed it. I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights later, and you got one mob who just can't find the big opening, kicked 2 goals, 6 to start the final term, and just pulled the gun out and shot their foot off, and then it goes up the other end, and the little master just goes bang, bang.
Yep. He did, and he went bang, 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 bang in total on that game, 4 goals, 13 goals in his past 5 games, and that stretch of 5 games... I think there's a case you made. He's got Brownlow votes in each of those 5 games. Now, I can't recall what he did prior to that in the first 3 games from a Brownlow medal perspective, Bill. I don't think it was as good as the past 5. But
is he eligible, Brownlow? Not?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we, in an hour and a half's time or so or thereabouts. The way I read it, Michael Christian has to refer this to the tribunal. At least give him the 1 week on what he adjudicated last week. I felt he was always going to get off last week, as I think you did too, Jim. He had to use the tribunal mechanism in order for that to be the case. I can't see a scenario, provided they can establish without doubt that there was contact made to Sam Wright's head, which there appears to be. But having said that, I haven't seen an angle which absolutely beyond refute says that it did. So once Michael Christian gets his head around that, Bill, it has to, I believe, go down a path where it's going to be 1 week unless he challenges.
There was a day gone by where the tribunal used to go, we let you off last week. You come back here way too quickly.
Yeah.
So just have a little spell.
Shouldn't work that way.
Well, it did. I'm not sure it still does, but it certainly used to.
Honestly, don't know what's going to happen.
Don't you?
No.
And for you to say that means he's probably dumb, because you normally say there's nothing to see here with the Geelong player, particularly a great one.
Orazio, Fantasia. It's a bit like Danny the Man, the Green Man, Machine Man, Mean Man. are we doing with this?
Well, I think that's all got to him. He's now done a quad again, and he's out for another couple of weeks, which is a real problem for him and Essendon. But he's got himself into another brawl, BT, hasn't he, with what's going on here? Well, I think we just have to retrace a few steps here. So we go back to the Friday huddle last year, Jim. Orazio Fantasia comes into the Friday huddle, and Howie, as you'll hear here, asks him how he should pronounce his name.
How do you introduce yourself? Hi, my name is
Fantasia.
Right. So we've got that.
Fantasy.
We then had Channel 7.
So therefore, Friday night was old news. That's a year ago.
But Jim, it gets more intriguing and confusing, okay? So that's what he said last year on record with cameras and tapes rolling.
Yes.
BT, as we know, wasn't doing Friday night footy. Channel 7 pulled rank on him and started saying, we're going to call him Fantasia. BT, when we came in on the Saturday rub, was nicely worked up over the whole matter.
Hello.
In Italy, it's Fantasia.
Right.
Guess where we live?
Melbourne.
Australia. And we call it Fantasia.
I'm with you.
Now, we don't pronounce Italian names in Australia the full Italian way.
We pronounce it
with the Australianism in it, and that's how we'll continue to do it. His name is Fantasia.
So if you're calling
in Australia,
what are you going to do?
It's going to be because Bruce,
so this is getting to you.
Bombers game that we do, and Bruce says Fantasia, you're going to call the same guy Fantasia.
I will be going with Orazio.
Okay, so it's as clear as mud right now, and wait for it to get even muddier. Orazio Fantasia. Fantasia was stopped today before getting some scans, and it was put to him once again. How do we say your name?
When someone stops you at the airport and says, what's your name? What do you say?
I say Fantasia. So there it is.
Jim, what's happening? So he's had 2 cracks at it.
Yep.
BT's only had the 1 crack at it. Channel 7's tried to pull rank on BT, and I'm none the wiser as to what
happens
from here.
Well, now, we've heard it out of the man's mouth. It's Fantasia, so we go with Fantasia.
BT was accused of casual racism with some of his comments on this.
Exactly.
Fantasia's what we go with.
Basil liked it.
He did.
He liked to call it the other way.
We've just had it out of the man's own mouth. Fantasia is it, so Fantasia's it.
That'll do.
Well, it's better than Coffee Boy, which is what you called him.
Well, he did look, that was a while ago, Jim, and no, he did you, look Bill. Like a little coffee boy.
He'll be missed by them. He's turned into an unbelievably important player for them.
Well, four goals against Sydney on Friday night, and that wasn't enough for them to get them over the line, but he'd missed a couple prior to that. We may as well stick with BT while we're on BT, do you think? Because he was well and truly worked up over being overlooked for the Friday night coverage. It was his domain, and he wasn't happy, and Basil Zemplis took over BT's role, and BT wasn't happy.
You don't like having nights off for that
Basil
reason, though.
Does one game a year.
One.
Give Baz a go. Give Baz a go. He does the one a year up there in Sydney so he doesn't have to travel because up there weekend sunrising.
I think that's faint praise. He's just been damned with their Baz.
Give Baz a go.
What? Give Baz a go.
And then he was just getting his eye in because no one was safe after we got him nice and truly worked up because then he took on the great Bruce McAvaney.
Bruce was also
Bruce
a fantasy
swings
player.
With the wind.
So, hello.
As was proven last night. He's with me the week before and we're calling him Fantasia and then Basil comes along and calls him Fantasy.
You're now taking on the king of commentary.
What about that? No bigger name in that network, and Bristol's just taken aim.
Damo, what is going on there? There's a bit of bit going on
the horse scene. Race to replace
the
Bruce.
Horse race.
Oh,
yeah.
It's interesting.
And he's there
our man's in front.
Our man's there.
Our man's definitely in front.
Right, okay.
James Brayshaw's in front. Yeah, BT was sort of neck and neck, but I think after taking on Bruce publicly like he did on Saturday,
Hamish gone.
Hamish is back in the thing. Don't rule out the Duke of Wellness, Luke Darcy. He's there as well,
chipping away. Is he?
Yep. Yep, wow. And Basil's clearly in the race too because he usurped BT on Friday night.
What we're doing here is pointing to the podcast you do with Hutchie that I still haven't received payment for. I'm going to put an invoice in, Bill.
Yes.
They have had me on that thing,
every
these
week.
Two clowns, every week I now know. For two straight years. So everyone else invoices Hutchie. So it's time I did too, Purple.
Sounding board, very good podcast.
He doesn't pay them all.
Speaking of boards, what about old Bill Board
Damo.
Himself here? Wait, old Four Eyes.
Up in Sydney, you're at the MCG, and then you're at headquarters, AFL House. There's a big thing of you there.
It's silly,
what's
isn't
going
it?
On, Damo?
It's silly, Bill.
Damien Barrett.
Now we've got to negative positive in the same segment here.
Yep.
Four and four we're
four
going
four.
With Purple. So
we'll
which way?
Missed the positive view. We'll start with the positive.
Oh, no, let's go.
I like the win most of Hawthorn. Now, Bill, you like Richmond. We'll
like
get to them
Richmond,
in a minute.
Yeah.
But I just thought with Alistair Clarkson's decision to axe Jared Ruffhead, the great Jared Ruffhead, it just set a feel for the team, which allowed them to then keep GWS to just five goals in totality. Mm-hmm. It was just quite extraordinary. Mitchell Lewis starting to show some significant signs there with the responsibilities that went his way with Ruffhead not being around. And look, they've got themselves back to 4-4. They play Richmond this round coming up, Bill. Look, he's got them back on track. He always does, doesn't he, Tucker? Richmond was your winner of the weekend, though, wasn't
I like
it, Bill?
Them. Well, they had a lot of blokes out, of course. We all know that. But then they lost two before half time, one being Nankervis, the big ruckman. And that really hurt him.
And Jack Ross being the other who they lost within the game on top of the already massive names who were out.
And Freo were favourites. Yeah, home ground. They should have won that. And Richmond, great win. Well done.
And won it easy.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't just fall in. They won that game
easy. Moving on for another positive is Tim Kelly, Bill, as part of the celebration of Geelong that is unfolding this year with seven wins and one loss from the eight games. And the one loss being by less than a kick to a very good team in GWS. So
that helps him, but does it help Geelong if he does leave?
In what way?
At the end of the year.
The winning?
Yeah, no, him playing so well.
It doesn't help them, but when you are in a situation as he will be in, where he's got a choice of two clubs to go to, it does limit the scope for which can be gained by way of him being traded because he's limited the marketplace to two. So it's going to have to be two first-round picks. So I don't know. I think even as a starting point, there'll be needed to be something else added on.
So this year and next year type of deal.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. And when I say two first-round, I'm not saying two in the top five, but it's going to have to be something like that. I mean, if he wasn't best on ground yesterday, Billy was second best, wasn't he? And he would have to be in all-Australian calculations, I would have
thought. He got the votes yesterday.
He got the votes in the Triple M leaderboard, and he now leads Bill on the back of that,
which the fourth positive?
Fourth positive. I'm going to go with Alex Keith. You know, I've got a massive soft spot for his footy story. He's only played 20 games of footy. He's 27 years of age. He's actually helped this football club get its season back on track, hasn't he? They've got four in a row. He's brought players back into the game around him. Daniel Talia, I think, was struggling. I reckon in the last 3 to 4 weeks, Daniel Talia has really blossomed on the back of Keith being the intercept marker that he's become and the good ball user
and
that
the
he is.
Doom and gloom with the loss of Lever. That's all of pretty that. Well covered now. So yeah,
Dodé going out. Yeah, so I think it's nicely.
All right, I'm jumping in on the positive.
Oh,
yep. Righto. All right,
go.
The 6-6-6, the last minute of Gold Coast Melbourne. Ooh. Perfect illustration as to why that's a great rule change. So I love that. And I'm loving the umpiring, Purple.
Yeah?
We're down to an average of 30 free kicks a game, which is about 20 less than the first two or three rounds. Much, much, much better. So the officials are doing a great job.
You've always been an advocate for less is better when it comes
Let
to free kicks.
Let the players play. And yep. It's brilliant. I love it. Keep going. All right, we'll go the other way.
We'll go the other way. We'll start with Essendon. This time last year, they were 2-6, and their season was effectively done. They're one win better placed this year, Bill. They're 3-5. Yeah. But didn't like what I saw against the Swans when Triple M Footy was up there on Friday night. They just lack a serious spark and a serious confidence level that allows them.
Discipline they were.
Yeah, they were at times. Yeah. They were at times. And again, I'm not one to read a lot into body language post match, but Matty Lloyd is, and he didn't like what he saw when it came to, you know, little high fives and pats on the backside and okay, it's sort of okay feel. It's there's just something lacking there.
They've got Freo at home, and then they've got Richmond, and then they've got Carlton before the bye.
Yep.
So that will when if they get there in an ambulance, they're done.
Yep.
But if they win two of the three of them,
back in the race.
They've still got some pulse.
Not going to call it just yet, but it's getting pretty crucial. Carlton's loss, you called it magnificently, Jim, and you too, Bill, on Saturday against
Great
Collingwood.
Game.
11 points up, 20-minute mark of the last quarter, lose by 3 goals. I don't know how that happens. And the inevitability around that time, I mean, I heard you commentating, both of you at the time, and you felt that they were going to always get up Collingwood if they kicked that goal that they required to. Well, and it's just a doom and gloom scenario now. And I feel it's almost as damning as the bad loss they had the previous week against Carlton. Now, I know that's a harsh way of looking at it, but there's a cumulative effect of losing matches this way that just does not sit well. And unfortunately,
I felt for them. Yeah, Cripps kicks that goal. Like, they go to 13 points up or whatever it would have been. And
I think it was going to be up to 16 or 17, wasn't it?
If Alistair Clarkson or Craig Bellamy is coaching Carlton at that time, Carlton win.
And that they might be 4-4, even 5-3 this year. So that's unfortunately the way the world works. And you're right. Those two coaches last week, one made a massive statement publicly about his team.
Did,
and one actually physically made the change of taking a major player out of his team in rough
hair. They're nasty.
And they work. GWS to score 38 points in total, having averaged 117, I think it was, in the previous 2 weeks. That was a bad loss. And Jimmy Bartel, who's the director of that club, has gone them publicly today in a way that's very profound. So you can see those comments on the AFL platforms.
Got to be able to win at the G, obviously.
Worrying too, Jim, just to round up this negativity here.
Yes.
Crowd violence, and it is violence. What went on at the MCG, you probably saw some of it from your commentary box. But people who I've spoken to who saw some of what was going on were genuinely disturbed, and even to the point where there was, you know, a person seen urinating on a police car. We're actually in a pretty dire state right now when it comes to this. And as bad as some of the incidents have been in terms of what we've been able to see, there's a whole lot more going on in some venues that we just don't get to see.
Purple, just take the New York Manhattan attitude.
Put them inside.
Put them away, and they've got to pay 30 grand to get out, and then they've got to come up with a very good reason why they're allowed back in an AFL venue in 10 years.
I'd life ban them.
Because unless you take it seriously, they'll keep doing it.
Yeah, and that's what's happening.
Right, are we sending buses anywhere?
Yeah, we'll go. We will.
Ramsey. Bus.
Well, that one's still at the Carlton ground, Bill, but we're going to send the other one. Bring it back from the Hume Highway from Sydney Swans, and we'll go to Tullamarine. Just need to watch this space on Essendon. 3-5. It's a very similar feel to what was happening this time last year, and we know what happened then.
All right. Nice to see you, Purple. Thanks for that. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Purple.
That was Damo's recovery session for Coat Hire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.